ಶುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಶರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನತಿಲ್ಯ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Gudale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini Namaste Sarasvadevam Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarini ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಮೀಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕತಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂಬಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣೀ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ಹೃದಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಿ ದಾಯಿದೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾಧ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಶಕ್ತಿದ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣಿ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾಪ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತಧ್ವಂದಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರ ಸಾಂಬೋಧೆ ಪಾದಾಂಬುಜಾಯತೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನೋ ಗೌರಾಯದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೇಷ್ಟಾ ಸಜನ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯ ದೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾತ್ವಿಜಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ಚೇತಾಂ ಸುರದೌ ಪಂಗೋರ್ ಮಮ ಮಂದ ಮದೇರ್ಗದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವದಾಂ ಭೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯಬೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದೌ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ರತ್ನಾಗರಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ರಾಧಾಶೀಲಗೋವಿಂದದೇವೋ ಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಲಿಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ರಾಸರಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀ ಪಟತಟಸ್ಥಿತ ಕರ್ಷಾನ್ವೇಣುಸ್ವನೇರ್ಗೋಪೀರ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥಾಶ್ರಯೇಸ್ತುನ ಸುತಕಾಂಚನಗೌರಾಣೀ ರಾಧೇ ಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो इन नारद भक्ति सूत्रम व्हाट वी डिस्कस लास्ट सैटरडे was bhakti sadhana. Sadhana means Sri Narada Maharshi says there that in the bhakti sadhanani, that chapter, that kastaradi kastaradi mayam ya sangam tejadi yo mahanubhavam sevade nirmamo bhavati. He says that in order, how twice he raises this question, kastaradi kastaradi mayam, how will one cross over maya? That was the question, isn't it? So, in answer to that, in three verses, Sri Narada Maharshi himself says that ya sangam tejadi, the first thing is avoid the association, bad association. First is the first step to cross over maya. To cross maya, to get over maya, Krishna says the maya is a very powerful force. Maya is coming from Krishna and maya is Krishna's energy. So, to cross maya, Kastaradi, Kastaradi Maya. He says, how Taradi means to cross over. How do we cross over Maya? He says, a Sangam Tejadi. First thing is to keep away from bad association. Bad association. A Sangam Tejadi. Association is unavoidable, but bad association is troublesome. Yo Mahanubhavam Sevati, Nirmamo Bhavati. Three things he spoke there, and we have seen there. That Sangam Tejadi, we discussed about that also. Krishna has also says in the Bhagavad Gita that this association, Krishna says, Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Durateya, is very difficult to overcome my Maya. In other words, Krishna's Maya. It is Krishna's Maya. It is very difficult to overcome. And then we talked about Salsangam as the counter influence against Dursangam, bad association, to keep association with the devotees. That is the way to avoid bad association. So Krishna says there, Sri Narada Maharshi says there, Sangam Tejadi. Sangam must be given up. Sangam means bad association should be given up. So there he also mentioned that Yo Vivikta Sthanam Sevate, that is 47th Sutram. யோ விவிக்தஸ்தானம் சேவதே யோ லோகபந்தம் உன்மூலயதி நிஸ்திரை குண்யோ பவதி யோகக்ஷேமம் தியஜதி. ஃபியூ திங்ஸ் ஹி ஹாஸ் ஸ்போக்கன் தேர். ஹி சேஸ் தேர் யோ விவிக்தஸ்தானம் சேவதே. விவிக்தஸ்தானம் மீன்ஸ் இன் சாலிட்யூட். ஒன் ஹூ இஸ் சர்ச்சிங் சாலிட்யூட், ஒன் ஹூ இஸ் ஸ்டேயிங் இன் த சாலிட்யூட். யோ லோகபந்தம் உன்மூலயதி. லோகபந்தம் மீன்ஸ் கனெக்ஷன் வித் திஸ் வேர்ல்ட், அவுட் சைட் வேர்ல்ட். A devotee who wants to advance in the spiritual path, he has to learn where to draw the line in connection with this world, how much you want to associate with this world. So that's why he says here, a logabandham unmulayati. And that logabandham or connection with this world comes in the different forms, just like people have great attachment to acquiring wealth. And not only that, the acquired wealth, they want to protect that. That's also another sign of that illusion, that they want to acquire a lot of wealth and then they want to protect that wealth. This is logabandham, that connection with this world. Unmulayati nistrai gunyo bhavati. And one who is free from the attachment and aversion to this, from this world, he is in a position to free himself from the three modes of material nature. Nistrai gunyo bhavati yogakshemam tyajati. Then, such a person, he says that he can cross over Maya. He can cross over Maya. So, he continues to talk about that what a devotee should do to get over Maya. Kunti Devi said to Krishna, Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman Vishwamurte Sokeshume Snehapasham imam chindi dridam pandushu prashnishu. This is a verse famous from the Kundi study, Kundi's glorification of Krishna. So Kundi Devi is saying to Krishna, Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpen Vishwamurte Swageshumi, that Maya is manifesting for Kundi Devi in form of the attachment to this world, particularly to Pandavas and to the Vrishni. Vrishni means from the brothers, that is her brother's side, Vasudev. Kunti Devi's brother is Vasudev, Krishna's father. And there is a relationship and relations through that. And on the other side, Kunti Devi is talking about Pandu's children, that is Bhishma, Bhima, Arjuna. And through them, through that connection, she had attachment there as well. She had attachment there as well. So these two attachments, Kunti Devi says, are both a obstruction for her in developing bhakti. That's why she says to Krishna, Adha Vishvesha Vishwalpan Vishwamurte Swageshume, that you are the person who creates this attachment and you are the person who is capable of breaking it. And that is why Snehavasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. My attachment, which is very strong, Kunti Devi says to Pandavas, to her children, and the similar another rope of attachment is towards Vasudev and the Vrishnis. So both of them, you should cut it off. She is requesting Krishna to cut that attachment off, the bondage off. Snehavashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. That towards the Pandavas as well as the Vrishnis, Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna. So, and if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see first thing what Krishna says to Uddhava was, Tondu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandhushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. That Tondu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandhushu. This rope of attachment towards your own people, family, members of the society and relatives, all that should be sneham sojane bandhushu. That should be broken at some point. That is the system. That it is not meant for an eternal relationship. Relationship with the family members and the society, that's not eternal. That is there in the householder life, these things do happen. But when that time comes, one should also have to break that, cut that attachment. That's what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Uddhava, you are at such a stage now. Uddhava is 124 years old. Krishna is just prior to departure. So there was no point in asking Uddhava
to keep any attachment to this world. That is why first thing Krishna says to Uddhava was, Sandhu sarvam parityajya sneham svajanabandhushu. Svajanabandhushu, one's own people, Uddhava's relatives, whoever they may be, and other society members. Krishna is saying, sarvam parityajya sneham. All attachment towards them must be given up. That is the first requirement from Krishna. And then after that, maya veshyamana, absorb yourself in Krishna or the soul, samyak, and be fixed on that, and samadrak, and with an equal vision that only Krishna exists in this creation. Vijara swagam, move around in this world, freely go through this world in that way. That is what Krishna says to Uddhava. Uddhava asked Krishna that whether he could accompany him back to the spiritual world. Krishna says no. Even after such a long period of association, Krishna says, I prefer that you come back on your own. That was Krishna's request to Uddhava, which you will see in the Bhagavatam. And then we'll also see the same, we have seen also this, that Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi exactly the same thing. Chedakvalyasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya redimva pumsi muktaye. This is why Kapila Vasudeva's teachings to Devahuti begins with this. So when Devahuti Devi said to Kapila Vasudevan that that she had a tremendous enjoyment in this world, in a very, very higher level of sense enjoyment with her husband. They travel together, isn't it? All over the planets, in a heavenly planets and earthly planet, everywhere they travel, and many hundreds of years they spend in that way. Afterwards, she felt the necessity to leave this world. And at that time, her husband, Kardama Prajapati, wanted to take sannyas and leave home. Kardama Prajapati left after taking permission from her and from the son, which is Kapila. So from Kapila and Devahuti, he took permission to leave them, and he went to the forest to practice spiritual life. It is then that Devahuti Devi started thinking, what a life have I lived here in this world? What did I gain from this life? After all, I have got this human body. Did I utilize it properly? And Devahuti Devi says to her son, Kapila, Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asadindriya darshanan yena sambhavyamanena prapannandham tama prabho. Kapila Vasudeva hears this from Devahuti. No mother has spoken like this so far. Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asadindriya darshanan. That she says that, my dear son, I have come a stage in life. By now she had a glorious family life, and now she is saying to Kapila Vasudeva, to son, that asad indriya darshanal, that sense gratification I had for such a period of time, such a long period of time, I have been absorbed in the sense enjoyment. So, and I never learned so far how to disconnect myself from this. What did I gain from this? Except that when I was enjoying the senses, I was under the impression that this is going to go forever. But they are also getting old. They also, when they start getting old, they started realizing that this life cannot go forever. This has a limit. Every sense gratification has a limit. So Devahuti Devi says there, Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asad indriya darshanal. But on the other hand, although one has become old, the senses are more and more demanding because of the past enjoyment it had. So the desires are built up inside, but unable to execute the gratification because senses are becoming tired and they are unable to perform their duty well. So as much enjoyment she had before, she is unable to get that from the senses. And she says to Kapila Vasudev, asad indriya darshanat, that this indriyam or senses, which is asata, they will drag you down every day. And so therefore she says, Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asadandriya darshanal yena sambhavyamanena yena sambhavyamanena prapannatmam tama prabhom. That all it is doing is sense gratification. What it does is, day by day it will drag us into the dark hell, to the darkness. That means we will lose our strength of spiritual life. Or practically we can see that you will lose your desire for spiritual life, and then you will become suddenly a victim of the senses. Yena sambhavyamanena pravannantham tama prabho. That it will drag us into darkness, into tamas, tamogunam. Who is saying this? Devahuti Devi is saying this. She is the most intelligent woman. And she is saying this to her son, Kapila Vasudev. It is then that Kapilam begins. The famous Kapila Vasudev's teachings to Devahuti Devi in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, he begins immediately. The answer to that is Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman Asadindriya Chedakvalyasya Bandhaya Muktaye Chalpanomadam Guneshu Saktam Bandhaya Radamba Pumsi Muktaye. He says Chedakvalyasya Bandhaya Muktaye Chalpanomadam. My dear mother, the problem is not with the senses. That's the first thing. Devahudi says to Kapila Vasudev, my senses are enjoyed in sense gratification, therefore now I am suffering. The senses are not able to enjoy anymore like before because they have gone old and they lost their strength. Kapila Vasudev's reply is more interesting. He says, my dear mother, your senses are not the problem. Behind that senses there is a person called the mind. And he is the problem. That mind is the problem. Chedakalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam. The conclusion is this, he says, when that mind is attached to Krishna, attached to the soul or to the spiritual life, then there is no problem. It is mukti. Liberation comes. Guneshu saktam bandhayam. If it is attached to the gunam, three modes of material nature, which means sense enjoyment, the result of that, it is bondage. This is Kapila Vasudev's replies to Devahuti Devi. Devahuti Devi complained about the senses. Kapila Vasudev says, senses are not the problem. Behind it, there is this thing called mind. That is the one you have to get control of. Get control of. Chedakalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya radamba pumsi muktaye. That if attachment, what we have in the mind towards sense enjoyment, if the same thing is directed towards Krishna, radimba pumsi muktaye, that ready, that attachment can lead to liberation. Can lead to liberation. This is how Kabilam begins. Kapila Vasudev's instructions begins with this verse and it goes for 8 chapters. A lot of things are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam at that time. So, the chittam or the mind, which is attached to Krishna, takes us to liberation. Attached to sense enjoyment creates bondage. This is the principle behind it. That's what he says. So, Krishna says also in the same thing that yogakshemam mahamyaham, that one who is engage in sense in spiritual advancement, one who is advanced, one who is exuding spiritual life, Krishna says it is Krishna's duty to take care of his life. In other words, Krishna says there, ananyas chindayendomam ye janam parivasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Ananyas chindayendomam, one who does not think of himself separately from Krishna. And ananya bhakti, it is called, constantly realizing the relationship with Krishna and continue to execute spiritual life. Ye jana parivasade, those who are worshipping me in that way, tasham nityabhiyuktanam, their daily protection and shelter, yogakshemam mahamyaham, I guarantee that. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. So, devotee should not be overly concerned about his survival in this world. Survival in this world. So, and also you have to remember that verse when the little bird, Parigrahaya Dukhanam, verse in the Bhagavadam, that when the little bird got a small piece of flesh, it flew away with that. All the big birds followed that little one to get that small piece of flesh from that. So when the little bird realized that there is danger all around, and the reason for the danger is this little piece of bite it had, it immediately dropped there and she escaped from the trouble from the bigger birds. Otherwise, the bigger birds would have given her a lot of trouble. So, parigraham, that is called parigraham. Parigraham means anything we possess in this world, it will become a cause of anxiety for ourselves later. That is why it says that as much as when we recognize, Krishna says, Ishavasa tena tektvena bunjida, that verse, is saying to us that recognizing all the time it is Krishna's, nothing is ours. In that state, when one lives, magrada kasya siddhanam, very well acknowledging to whom it belongs to, Krishna says it won't cause any danger. It won't cause any danger. So, after saying that, here Narada Maharshi says here that in the 48th sutram, ya karma bhalam tyajadi, karmani sanyasyadi, tado nirdvando bhavati. You can see what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and what Sri Narada Maharshi says is precisely the same, isn't it? First thing is, ya karma bhalam tyajadi, that bhalam, results that has come from karmam, tyajadi, it should be given up for Krishna. And karmani sanyasyati, and as much as possible to give up activities for personal benefit, swartha karma, it's called swartha karma. Those who are retired, to them the advice is, whatever that has happened in the life is over now, but at least after retirement, not to create more work. There's a lot of people in that state, isn't it? They can never retire from life. Even after leaving work, they still pull more work into their life, create from all sides, increase the karma. That is one to be careful about. What is necessary to be done in this world, one has to execute at a time in life. But after that, at some point in time, Krishna is saying that one should come out of that. This karma, propensity for karma. Ya karma balam tejadi karmani sanyasyadi, he says, tato nirdvandva bhavadi. So first thing, karma bhalam tyajadi. One who wants to go for realization of the self, he should first give up the results of the karma, what has come. It should be given up. Karma bhalam tyajadi. Then he says, karmani sanyasyadi. Then karma must be given up completely. Karma must be given up completely. Because karma is meant to bind us. Karma does not do anything else in this world except it binds us to this world, isn't it? So it is not that unlimitedly we continue doing this karma whole lifetime. That is not expected from us also. That is when karma becomes a karma yogam instead of a karma yogam. It becomes a disease with many people. It becomes a karma yogam. You can see always people after retirement also looking for something to do, nothing else to do. So Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavatam is that at least at that point in time, you should pull out of everything and remaining time should be absorbed in Krishna consciousness to think about the destination of the soul, which way it's going to go after the death. So that becomes the important, that is the main purpose of life. But due to karma, due to householder life, even if one has to get absorbed for some time in life, that should not continue forever. It should not become the permanent activity. So he says, ya karma balam tejadi karmani sanyasyadi. If you do like that, tado nirdvandva bhavadi. Nirdvandvam. He will get freedom from dvandvam, from duality. Duality is that we are all separate, and because we all have our own, and this seeing everything separate in this world, not seeing the one thing that is uniting all of us, which is the soul, but seeing on the bodily level. And to come out of that, Krishna says here that karma balam tejadi karmani sanyasyati. And after saying this, Krishna says there that one should give up the attachment for the results, bhala asakti. Bhala. Why? Because if we continue that, there will be pious activity and sinful activity, which means our material existence will continue. Material existence will continue. So, some cases, not that you give up only the results of the karma, but the karma itself must be given up. Karma itself must be given up. It is the purpose is, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, purpose of life is not to come and work here whole life. Purpose of life is how to develop the self-realization, how to develop the knowledge and realize the self. That is the goal. So, selfish activity, swartha karmam, should be given up. And karmam which is performed niswartham, not for selfish interest, the results must be offered to Krishna. This is the principle. Selfish activities must be brought to the very minimum, only for maintaining the body, very minimum required. But even activities which are not performed for one's own interest, which means for the others in this world, even the result should be offered to Krishna. So, if you do laya, Krishna says here, that it will not affect the person anymore. And he will become qualified. That will create that purification inside to execute the proper sadhana in spiritual life. Proper sadhana in spiritual life. Vedoktam eva kurvano nisangorpidam ishvare naishkaramyam labhade siddhim rojanartha phalashruti. Bhagavatam says that Vedoktam eva kurvanam. This is when the Navayogis discussed with King Nimi. There, Avirhotra says to King Nimi that how this karmam should be executed. It was then that Avirhotra Maharshi says this. In the third chapter, you will see in the 11th canto. He says to him, Vedoktam eva kurvano nisangorpidam ishvareim. Then, only that is allowed in the shastram. Shastra vihidam. What shastram allows us to execute. That karmam is allowed to be performed without expectation of any results. And if it is offered to Krishna, those karmam, then what will happen is that the spiritual knowledge will develop inside. Spiritual knowledge is developed inside. It's very difficult. We have understood that knowledge we acquire with the mind and the senses. Spiritual knowledge will not develop like that. Spiritual knowledge develops from purification inside. Not through the mind and intelligence. Most of the people, they are under the impression that through mind and intelligence, they will understand the spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is not for understanding. It's for realizing. This is the firm basic principle in spiritual life. Spiritual knowledge or the knowledge of the soul is not for understanding. You have to keep the mind and intelligence away when we have to discuss about the soul. Practically, this problem is always there with everybody. Everything, because that is how we have learned everything in this world, isn't it? When we went to college, university and all, everything we learned through mind and intelligence. So we bring the same practice into spiritual life also. And we start trying to understand with the mind. And people say, oh, I couldn't understand that point. I couldn't understand this. There's nothing to understand there. The spiritual knowledge comes when purification happens inside. This is what it says here. Vedoktam eva kurvano nisangarpidam ishvare. When it is offered to Krishna without any attachment, all the results of our activities which are allowed as per the Vedic injunctions. This is the principle. What Vedas allow, if you execute those karmam, and if the results that is coming from the karmam is offered to Krishna, then what will happen is naishkarmyam labhade siddhim. He will develop that beautiful qualification of naishkarmya siddhi. Naishkarmya siddhi means purification of one's own existence through freedom from karmam. Freedom from karmam. That's called naishkarmya siddhi. We discussed this in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. A long discussion about naishkarmya siddhi. Krishna talks about that, isn't it? Naishkarmya siddhi. So naishkarmya siddhi is the principle on which purification happens. Bhagavad Gita says that by execution of those karmam that is allowed by the Vedic authorities or the Vedas or Shastram, what that allows, and the results that is coming from that, if offered to Krishna, naishkarmya siddhi labhade siddhim, he will experience, he will get the naishkarmya siddhi or that siddhi or benefit of chitta shuddhi. It will happen inside. So, and rojanartha bhala shruti. Question will come, that when Vedic Karmagandam is executed, there is also glorification of many things of the heavenly planets, enjoyment in the heavens. When people read that and they start misunderstanding that the purpose of all these activities of Vedic Karmam, Karmagandam is to enjoy the life in the heavenly planet. Krishna says, Rojanartha Bhala Shruti. Avirhotra Maharshi is saying here, Rojanartha Bhala Shruti. Rojanartha Bhala Shruti means that just like a child, when we have to give him some bitter medicine, we tell the child, look, if you take this medicine, I'll give you a chocolate. So the child will agree to take the medicine, isn't it? The purpose is not to give the chocolate to the child. The purpose is to induce the child to take the medicine, bitter medicine. This is a bonus he gets for that, to taking the medicine. So in the similar way, if you the Vedas never give you a Vedas are structured like that in the way knowing very well that each one of us are in different state of evolution in spiritual life. Some people require that incentive to come to spiritual life. So therefore Karmakandam has come, and Karmakandam says that you can go and enjoy in the heavenly planets, and so many benefits you get from the execution of Karmakandam like that. So some people are attracted to that, but Krishna is making that very clear here that if it is not as Naishkarmyam Labhate Siddhim, if it is executed like it with this understanding that it turns into leads to self-realization, then that is Naishkarmyam. And in that case, it will take him to further advance in the spiritual path. He will make the progress. And in order to create some interest in spiritual life, Vedas have spoken those things. In Vedam, you will find all these things all the time. That one side, it will talk about some benefit in material life. And on the other side, it will only talk about self-realization. These two things are mixed in the Veda. Why is it like that? Because the reason is this. That if he simply talked about self-realization alone, nobody will come. Nobody will come. Nobody has any interest in that. So strong. Vedavyasa Maharshi has experimented with all of us before he wrote all these books. He saw us very well. What is our nature? So first thing, something should be there to enthuse us to come to spiritual life, isn't it? So how it happened was, he compiled Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita first. Pure science of the soul, self-realization, he spoke in the Upanishads. No customers came. Then he wrote Bhagavad Gita. At least he thought, let me explain this through the battlefield, where what happened in Kurukshetram. He brought all the Pandavas, Kauravas, everything, all this war was discussed. And the whole Mahabharata was presented to us, how this family battle happened, quarrel happened, everything was spoken. And then the cream of whole thing in Mahabharata, he put that in the Shanti Parvam in the form of Bhagavad Gita. What he wanted to tell us was that, but to tell us this, he created whole Mahabharata for that purpose. This is how Vedavyas compiled Mahabharata. Mahabharata intention was not to, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita was not written to put it into Mahabharata. On the other hand, Mahabharata was written around Bhagavad Gita. This is how it happened. Because that was a message he wanted to tell us, the Bhagavad Gita. And he wrote all this Mahabharata and still no customers for what he wrote. You can imagine how frustrated he would be that he was wanted to do so much for this world, and he wrote Mahabharata, and then this Narada Maharshi came and gave him this wonderful idea of Bhagavatam. How? Because generally people have this tendency that if you tell them about things, about this spiritual realization, self-realization, all that, they will hear everything, but then they will say, I have to go home and look after my family, and they'll go. They won't come back again. So this is quite common in this world. So, but if you tell them that their question will be, when they hear Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, they will say, oh, it's not possible, it's not for me, they'll say. That's first thing they'll say, it's not for us. It's for somebody else, whoever can do it, but I can't do it, they'll say. So therefore, Vedavyas wanted to tell us that through he started this katha business, Bhagavata katha. Katha began like that. That's how Bhagavatam came about. So through personalities who have practiced this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, and who have realized the truth, through them he wanted to introduce the message to us, Bhagavad Gita to us. So practically you can see all the personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from Kunti Devi right up to the end of Parikshit, till he realized it, Markandeya Maharshi, all of them, that they were all personalities who followed the science of Bhagavad Gita and how they reached their state of perfection. So when we hear there are others who have done that, we may also feel a little inspiration to follow their footsteps. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam came to us. So when Bhagavatam was spoken, Krishna says to Uddhava, Navrtam karma sevede, pravrtam alparastyajal, jityasayam sampravrto, nadriyet karma chodanam. Krishna warned Uddhava like this. Navrtam കർമ്മ സേവേത പ്രവൃത്തം മൽപരത്യജൽ ഉദ്ധവ അറ്റ് സം പോയിന്റ് ഇൻ ടൈം യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗിവ് അപ്പ് ഓൾ ദ വർക്ക് ഇൻ ദിസ് ബിസിനസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് വർക്ക് 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 ഹൗ ലോങ് ഹൗ വേർ ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് ഗോയിങ് ടു എൻഡ് സോ ഹി സേസ് നിവൃത്തം കർമ്മ സേവേത ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഫോർ യുവർ ഓൺ സെൻസ് ഗ്രാറ്റിഫിക്കേഷൻ വാട്ട് എവർ ഈസ് ഡൺ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം നിവൃത്തി യു ഹാവ് ടു ഫ്രീ യുവർ സെൽഫ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് നിവൃത്തം കർമ്മ സേവേത ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് ടു ഡു എനി കർമ്മം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് പ്രവൃത്തം മൽപര ത്യജയൽ ഡു ദാറ്റ് ഫോർ മീ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് ലെറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ബി ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് കണക്റ്റഡ് വിത്ത് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ സെൽഫ് സോൾ പ്രവൃത്തം മൽപര ത്യജയൽ മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് that either you work for Krishna in the sense that it should be leading to self realization the work after that so nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam malparasthe jail krishna says karmam should be given up but if it some karmam has to be performed it should be performed for me then jijnyasayam sampravrte nadriel karma chodanam then doing in that way then jijnyasayam sampravrte nadriel karma chodanam One who has come to that state, that one who has reached that state, Nadriyal Karma Chodanam, he should not get disturbed over the urge for karmam from inside. We all have urge for karmam, isn't it? Which is very, very strong in us. That I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. This doing, 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 we have done so much now, we are finding difficult to get out of this doing business. This doing is such a thing that Nityasayam sampravurte nadriyal karma chodanam. This karmam is not a very helpful thing in spiritual life in that way. Nadriyal karma chodanam. Karmam is a bindage, is a bondage, actually binds us. That's why he says to Uddhava that if you have come to that jityasa, if that inquisitiveness have developed inside, jityasayam sampravurte, and you have reached that state that all I am interested in the realization of the soul, not concerned about what goes on in this world, and I have no karmam to perform here, if you have come and fixed in that state, nadriyal karma chodanam, if there is any urge from inside, you don't have to take into that account. You have to take that into account. So, nivrtam karma seveda, pravrtam malparatyajel, jityasayam sampravrte, nadriyal karma chodanam. Krishna says to Uddhava, so, all around you can see that the freedom from Maya happens when we also take that initiative to free ourselves from Maya. Maya lets us go, at the some point in time when we started realizing the importance of self-realization, the goal, which is the primary goal of the spiritual life. When that is not building up inside, the possibility of freeing ourselves from Maya is very difficult. That is why Krishna says in this, Narada Maharshi says in the next sutram, യോ വേദാനഭി സന്യസ്യതി കേവലം അവിഛിന്നം അനുരാഗം ലഭതേ സോ കൺക്ലൂഷൻ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹി സേസ് യോ വേദാനഭി സന്യസ്യതി കേവലം അവിഛിന്നം അനുരാഗം ലഭതേ ഈ സേസ് സോ വേദാനഭി സന്യസ്യതി വേദാനഭി സന്യസ്യതി മീൻസ് വെൻ വൺ കംസ് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഇസ് എ ഗോൾ ദെൻ ദ വൈദിക കർമ്മം ഈസ് ആൾസോ നോട്ട് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് എനി മോർ ദാറ്റ്സ് ആൾസോ ഫിനിഷ്ഡ് ദ So, yo vedanabhi sanyasyati, one who gives up that vairya karmam also, kevalam avichinnam anuragam labhate. For him, he will get that state at that time, avichinna anuragam. That means uninterrupted attachment to Krishna, he will get. Uninterested. That means if it is a jnani, you can say that it's uninterrupted attachment to self-realization. If it's a devotee, it means uninterrupted attachment to Krishna. As a devotee, these things will happen. That is what he is saying here. Siddhartha Maharshi is saying to us that we have to know first what actually is stopping us from getting attached to Krishna, stopping us from developing bhakti or developing jnanam. And that is what Narada Maharshi is explaining to us, what is actually the problem what we have got. And because we got used to understanding things with mind and intelligence and think that everything is with the mind and intelligence, we are not able to understand that what the real problem is. Real problem is this very mind and the intelligence, which is actually come on the way for us. So you can see this in the in the Bhagavad Gita also you will notice this. In the second chapter, Krishna says this, that the if you look into that verse 45, same thing what Narada Maharshi says here, Krishna puts it in another form there. He says, ത്രൈഗുണ്യ വിഷയ വേദ നിസ്ത്രൈഗുണ്യോ ഭവാർജുന. വാട്ട് നാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ ഇസ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ടു അർജുന. ത്രൈഗുണ്യ വിഷയ വേദ നിസ്ത്രൈഗുണ്യോ ഭവാർജുന നിർദ്വന്ദോ നിത്യസത്വസ്ഥോ നിർയോഗക്ഷേമ ആത്മവാൻ. നിർദ്വന്ദ്വം നിത്യസത്വസ്ഥം നിര്യോഗം ക്ഷേമ ആത്മവാൻ. കൃഷ്ണ സേയിങ് ടു അർജുന, അർജുന, എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു വാണ്ട്സ് ടു റിയലൈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്, ഹു വാണ്ട്സ് ടു നോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹിസ് അൾട്ടിമേറ്റ് ബെനിഫിറ്റ്, ഹീ ഷുഡ് നോട്ട് ഗെറ്റ് കോട്ട് അപ്പ് ഈവൺ ഇൻ ദ വേദി കർമ്മകാണ്ഡം. ത്രൈഗുണ്യം, ത്രൈഗുണ്യ വിഷയോ വേദ, വേദം ടോക്സ് അബൌട്ട് ത്രിഗുണം, ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, ആൻഡ് ദീസ് കർമ്മകാണ്ഡം ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ത്രൈഗുണ്യ വിഷയോ വേദ, ബട്ട് യു ഹാവ് ടു റൈസ് അബൌട്ട് ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. നിസ്ത്രൈഗുണ്യോ ഭവാർജുന നിർദ്വന്ദ്വം നിത്യസത്വസ്ഥോ നിര്യോഗം ക്ഷേമ ആത്മവാൻ. നിർദ്വന്ദ്വം, ഫ്രീഡം ഫ്രം ഡ്യുവാലിറ്റി മസ്റ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ. നിത്യസത്വസ്ഥം, ഹി ഷുഡ് ബി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദി മോഡ് ഓഫ് സത്വസ്ഥം, ഐ മീൻ അബൌട്ട് ദി ഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് ലോസ്, ദാറ്റ് കൈൻഡ് ഓഫ് തിങ് ആൻഡ് എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ്. നിര്യോഗക്ഷേമം ആത്മവാൻ, ഫ്രീഡം ഫ്രം ഓൾ എക്സ്ട്രഷൻസ് ഇസ് ഐസ് ഹിയർ. വേദാസ് മെയിൻലി ഡീൽ വിത്ത് ദ സബ്ജക്ട് ഓഫ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. Rise above the modes. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So self-realization is the goal. How to realize who we are, what we are. At the moment we are identifying with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence, so many things, isn't it? So that is why Krishna says the same thing what he says here. Narada Maharshi is saying what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So so a person who has developed Krishna consciousness, in a natural way karma will leave him. There is no problem with that. One who has developed proper attachment to Krishna, karma will leave him in a natural way, provided he has developed that attachment for Krishna. So but because attachment has not developed for Krishna, still attachment is for our own body, our own happiness in this world. There is no happiness attachment for Krishna. We have to change that attachment for the body, what we have today, towards attachment to the soul. And that is why this long process of bhakti, bhakti process has been spoken because of that. And in order to do that, first thing is, this body creates karma. Karma starts with this body mind, isn't it? So this karma which has come from the body, that must be put to an end. This must be put to an end. That's why Yamadharma Raja will say to his own, when after Jamila was had this argument, Vishnududas and Yamadudas came and they had an argument between Vishnududas and Yamadudas. Yamadudas goes back to Yamadharma Raja and speaks to him, "What, tell us about dharma," he says. "What is dharma? We went there on your instruction. When we went there, the Vishnududas came and threw us out from there, and we have come back here now. We didn't know what the law is actually. We thought you are the person who makes the law, and now when we go there, somebody else is coming and interfering in our work." So Yamadudas have spoke like this to Yamadharma Raja, and Yamadharma Raja clarified about that at that time. Dharmostu Sakshal Bhagavat Pranidam. നദേവിദു ഋഷയോ നാഭിദേവ ന സിദ്ധമുഖ്യ അസുരാ മനുഷ്യ കുതശ്ച വിദ്യാധര ചാരണാദയ. നോബഡി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ്സ് ധർമ്മം. ധർമ്മധർമ്മരാജ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി കുതശ്ച വിദ്യാധര ചാരണാദയ. സോ ദർ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് ധർമ്മം ഈസ് എ വെരി കോംപ്ലക്സ് തിങ് ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് കർമ്മം ഈസ്. കർമ്മം ഈസ് എ കോംപ്ലക്സ് ഫിനോമിനൻ, ഇസ് ഇറ്റ്? വെരി വെരി കോംപ്ലക്സ്. സംടൈംസ് പീപ്പിൾ ആസ്ക് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, what is the right thing to do? And the whole science of karma, even Krishna is saying gahana karmano gati, how karma binds us to this world is a very complex thing. Krishna is saying this gahana karmano gati. Nobody understands how karma binds us, because often this question will come in front of us: should I do this karma or should I not do it? Is this right thing to do? What will the implications of that? So that's where everybody gets confused, isn't it, about karma. And people, in our level, it's not a big problem because we have only simple issues in this world to sort it out. But overall, if you look at it in this world, from the topmost position to the lowest position, everyone is engaged in some karma or the other. And practically speaking, they are all puzzled by the karma they have to perform. They are all not sure whether it is the right thing what they are doing. Particularly those who are introspective. Those who are not introspective, there is no problem at all. They'll do anything in this world, what they like, what it suits them, in other words. But those who are thoughtful and those who understand that there must be a reason for someone suffering in this world will be more cautious about it, careful about it, and think, why should I suffer? What caused this suffering for me in this way to come? So only when one suffers will think that there must be some law behind it, and that is when the inquiry begins about the law of karma. And ultimate conclusion is that karma is the cause of karmana jayade jandu, karmanaiva viliyade, sugham, dukham, bhayam, kshemam, karmanaiva upapadyade. Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Karmana jayade jandu, a living entity takes birth in this world because of karma. Karmana jayade jandu, karmanaiva viliyade, and he gets dissolved in the karma itself. Sugham, dukham, bhayam, kshemam, happiness, distress, fear and welfare, everything. From karmam comes. So karmam is a very, very powerful binding force on us, what karmam is. And it is difficult to make that judgment what is the right thing to do in life. Always this problem is there in front of everyone. Especially when you study the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, this question will pop up straight away. What should I do? So there Krishna talked about a lot of things about karmam, about jnanam. Now here, Krishna is saying also the same thing. The Yamadutas went back to Yamadharma Raja and told him that what's our dharmam? What is dharmam here, he says. In other words, karmam should be based on dharmam. That is the principle. Karmam should be based on dharmam. But that dharmam also difficult to understand. What is dharmam? Therefore, Bhishma instructs Yudhishthira in the Mahabharatam many, many chapters about Varnashrama dharmam. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra dharmam, Brahmachari, Grastha, Vanaprastha, Sanyasa dharmam, Raja dharmam, Putra dharmam, Purusha dharmam, Stri dharmam, like that all dharmam he has spoken to Yudhishthira in the Mahabharatam. So, but when Yamadutas went back and spoke to Yamadharma Raja, Yamadharma Raja says to them that Prayena Veda Tadidam Namaha Janoyam Devhya Vimohita Madir Badamayayalam Trayam Jadigada Madir Madhubushpidayam Vaidanike Mahadigarmani Yujyamanam. He says there that Prayena Veda Tadidam Namaha Janoyam Devhya Vimohita Madir Badamayayalam. Maya is a very, Maya creates all this confusion in our mind about karmam and about dharmam. It is Maya's duty to keep us in this state. And because it is like that, people may not even understand. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about chanting the holy name, isn't it? If you chant the holy name, you can understand what you should do in life. That is another important principle in the Bhagavatam. That it will direct you in the right direction, what one should do and what one should not do. He says here, Manu and others, Mahajanoyam, they even don't understand the glories of the holy name of Krishna, because they are also under the influence of Maya. But but those who are not absorbed in self-realization or in spiritual life, Trayam Jadigrada Madhir Madhupushpidayam, that he says here, Jadigrada Madhir Madhupushpidayam, which means that just like Vedic Karmagandam, which gives you a lot of attraction towards that. Because at that time when these Narada Bhakti Sutram and all spoken, Karmagandam was very prominent. You will see that in the Bhagavatam also, isn't it? All the great kings were executing sacrifices. Parishit Maharaj executed, Yudhishthira Maharaj executed so many Ashwamedha sacrifices. Rajasuyam he performed. Prithu Maharaj executed 99 Ashwamedham. On the 100th sacrifice, Indra came and stopped him performing Ashwamedham. So performing sacrifices is the authorized way of executing karma for the kings, particularly those who are capable. And the others in the society, their duty was to help the king in executing the sacrifices. This was the system. All over Bhagavatam, you will see sacrifice after sacrifice happening. Prajina Barhis performed so many sacrifices. At the end, Srinarada Maharshi comes and instructs him. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, Puranjanavakyanam, Pranjana story. Prithu Maharaj executed 100 sacrifices, Ashwamedham. Daksha was executing sacrifices. Fourth canto, you will see there. And then you will also see again Angiras performing sacrifices in the sixth canto, when Vritrasura's time. So all of, what to talk about all that? Even when you come to Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj was performing sacrifices. Gosavam, it's mentioned in the Bhagavadam. He was performing a sacrifice called Gosavam to please the cows. So sacrifice is a part of the Vedic tradition, that sacrifices. And different sacrifices are spoken. We will see Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajavayam, hundreds of them listed for different purposes, with different motives. And they all have their results also given according to the way it has been performed. If it is done properly, the results must come. This is the answer to that. Results must come. So here, he says here, that a person who is attracted to those results, he will naturally go for that, for those sacrifices. He will not even understand the glory of the whole name. Why he was saying holy name was, because Ajamila escaped by chanting the holy name, isn't it? Ajamila escaped by chanting the holy name. So that holy name which has saved Ajamila, those people who are attracted to this Karmakandam, they won't be attracted to the holy name. This is what he is saying, who Yamadharmaraja is saying to the Yamadudas. He is saying to Yamadudas, those who are chanting the holy name, they are executing their dharmam properly. You should not have any necessity for you to go and bring them here. That was the instruction given to Yamadudas by Yamadharmaraja. It is in that context he is saying here, Prayena Veda Tadidam Namahajanoyam Devya Vimohidam Adir Badamayayalam Trayam Jadigradam Adir Madhupushpidayam Vaidanike Mahadigarmani Yujyamanam. A devotee who has taken to the chanting of the holy name as the process, he doesn't have to worry about all these things. This is his conclusions. And Kapila Maharshi says exactly the same thing to Devahuti Devi in the Bhagavadam. Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guha Shaye Mano Gadira Vichinna Yadha Ganga Ambosom Bhudau Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nurgunasya Kadakradam Ahaituki Avyavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottame. Kapila Vasudev, when he spoke to Devahuti Devi, he says to her that Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guha Shaye. Who is a devotee, he says, Mad Gunashudhi Matrayana Mai Sarvaguhashaye. As soon as he hear about Krishna, who is Krishna? Mai Sarvaguhashaye, who is present in everyone's heart. Immediately he recognizes, I am talking about Krishna, who is present in everybody's heart. And what happens? Manogadir Avichinna Yata Gangambasom Bhudau. His mind immediately goes to Krishna straight away. As soon as he sees a living entity, as soon as he, a pure devotee state, he is saying here, Madguna Shuddhi Matrena, as soon as you hear about Krishna, Krishna's glories, Madguna Shuddhi Matrena, Mai Sarva Guhashe, that as soon as you hear about Krishna's glory, immediately the thought should go about Krishna's presence in all living entities. That's the first thing it should happen for a pure devotee, not anything else. First thing, as soon as you hear about Krishna's glory, immediately the attention should go into Krishna's whose presence in all living entities. Sarva Guhashaye means in everyone's heart. Who is present in everyone's heart. Manogadir Avichinna Yadha Gangambasom Bhudau. And his mind should flow freely towards Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart. Yadha Gangambasom Bhudau. Just like Ganga river goes to the ocean and joins. Ganga is always rushing to get to the ocean, isn't it? She is rushing to get to the ocean. In a similar way, we have to understand that Yada Gangambaso Bhudau, a devotee's heart should flow towards Krishna. Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nurgunasya Hudakhradam. Then, Ahaiduki Avyavahida Ya Bhakti Purushottame. First class devotee who has devotion to Krishna, it says here, Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nurgunasya Hudakhradam. That Nurguna Bhakti, pure Bhakti, in other words, beyond the three modes of material nature. Bhakti, Kapila Vasudev categorizes into three. Sattvika Bhakti, Rajasa Bhakti, Tamasa Bhakti. That is in the Bhagavadam, which you know what it is, isn't it? Rajasa Tamasa Bhakti is that person who sees Krishna only in the deity, in the temple, nowhere else. he may even tell Krishna that I got all these enemies, help me to finish them up. That's also bhakti, but it is tamasa bhakti. That's tamasa bhakti. Like when big court cases are going on, I'm sure it will happen. When big even devotees, they are fighting for one temple. Both sides are praying to Krishna. Both are tamasa bhakti. What do you do? Isn't it? One says, I should win the court. The other one should lose. The other one says, I should get the court because we want to get the temple back. They want to get the temple. Both of them want the temple. So they're fighting. This is tamasa bhakti. Why? The interest is, one side they are considered as the enemy and they are fighting. And they are bringing Krishna into it. Isn't it? Bringing Krishna into it. It's happening all over the world. Temple business. So even among the devotees, if this can happen, why should we blame the karmis who are going to pray to Krishna? If this can happen among the devotees, why we should blame the karmis? Karmis, after all, they only know that. They don't know anything else. Only know how to beat others down and get their way through in this world, isn't it? That is their nature. So they will pray to Krishna that if you do this for me, I'm fighting this court case or I'm doing this and I must win somehow and you please help me and I'll do this for you in return. This is tamasa bhakti. This is tamasa bhakti. So we will talk all these things, but when it comes to our own life, we are not much different than the others, isn't it? So that is tamasa bhakti. Rajasa bhakti, what Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, is tamasa bhakti is like, rajasa bhakti is like this, that whatever they do, the whole world should know, first thing. In all websites, blogs, everywhere, it should be there, whatever that they have done. So this way, and not only that, everybody should recognize that I have done this. Everybody should know that. This is Rajasa Bhakti. So Rajasa Bhakti, Tamasa Bhakti. Rajasa Bhakti is for recognition in the world and for the name and fame, in other words, whatever that is done. Then there is Satya Bhakti. Satya Bhakti is that bhakti realizing that Krishna is the maintainer. Krishna maintains every living. It is my duty to serve Krishna. When one executes spiritual life in that way, it is Satya Bhakti. It is Satya Bhakti. So, based on the modes of nature, we will be executing three different kinds of bhakti. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. One who is in the mode of goodness, he will realize that it's my duty to serve Krishna. I should, because Krishna is maintaining me. I am Krishna's servant. I have this responsibility. He has accepted that wholeheartedly and he is serving Krishna with full commitment. That is Satya Bhakti. Rajasam Bhakti is for name and fame, Aishwaryam, to know the rest of the world. Tamasa Bhakti is that done with the intention of destroying someone or all the anger and hate towards someone to dissipate that, is find this root of bhakti. So these three processes under three modes of nature. This is how Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi. Above these three modes of nature and three different styles of bhakti, there is a higher one which is called Nirguna Bhakti. What Krishna mentions here. Kapila Vasudeva talks about that. What is that bhakti? Fully attached to Krishna, knowing very well I have nothing else in this world to do. And it is simply out of attachment for Krishna executing spiritual life in that way. Simply because they love Krishna, that they feel that attachment for Krishna intensely inside their heart, they execute their spiritual life. That is Nirguna Bhakti. Freedom from all the three modes of nature. So that is the fourth state. Nirguna Bhakti, Satya Bhakti, Rajasa Bhakti and Tamasa Bhakti. Three kinds of bhakti under three modes of nature and Nirguna Bhakti beyond the three modes of material nature. Beyond, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhakti or all the great Acharya's bhakti, that is Nirguna Bhakti. There is no contamination with the three modes of nature. Great devotees. That is Nirguna Bhakti. But at least, he says, it should be Satya Bhakti. And this Tamasa Bhakti also is not completely thrown out. Why? Because in due course of time, they will also get purified and they'll come to slowly to Rajasa Bhakti and then from Rajasam to Tamasam. It may take some time, But it may happen one day. It will happen one day in due course of time. So Kapila Vasudeva spoke to Devahuti Devi these three kinds of bhakti. Krishna talks to Uddhava. Sorry, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Navayogis talk to Kavi Hari speaks to King Nimi about three kinds of bhakti. There also. But there, it is spoken in a different way. Instead of saying Satvika Rajasa Tamasam, he spoke in a Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Kanishtha Adhikari. It is spoken, isn't it? So there also, it is the same thing that comes in the same pattern, like in the third canto, Kapila Vasudeva spoken. So there he has given a little bit more, in a deeper level he has spoken, Hari Maharshi, when Hari spoke to King Nimi. There he said, Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. First class devotee, he says, Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. One who sees Krishna in everyone, and one who sees everyone in Krishna, he is the first class devotee, he says. Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. For him, whenever is he another living entity, that Krishna is present there inside him. So there is no ragadvesham there inside. That is the best way. Krishna says that, isn't it? If you don't want to have any ragadvesham towards anybody, first thing, as soon as you see a person, just take it, Krishna is present inside there. If you recognize that aspect, there is no possibility of feeling any attachment or aversion towards him. That recognition of Krishna in others' heart, that is the first class devotee. Then second class devotee, he says, Ishwareta Dadini Adhineshu Balisheshu Dushat Suja Premam Maitri Kripa Upecha Yakaryodi Samadhyamam. Second class devotee is Ishwareta Adhineshu Balisheshu Dushat Suja. He categorizes people. First class devotee doesn't categorize. He sees only Krishna's presence. For him, there is no enemy, there is no friend. Everywhere it is Krishna. Whole presence is Krishna. Krishna's presence in everything. That is more important for him. Not categorizing. Categorizing is this Madhyama Adhikari who does that. Or the middle order man. Middle class or middle one. What he does. What he does is that Ishwareshu Tadadhineshu Balisheshu Dushal Sucha. He classifies people into four categories. Some people he sees them as devotees. And some people he sees them as friendship. They have friendship towards him. He has friendship towards them. They are friendly people. They are friendly. Some people are devotees. Another group, they are not devotees, but they are friendly to you. That's also like that, isn't it? When you distribute books, they'll tell you. If you meet a lot of kinds of different kinds of people in the street, isn't it? Some people straight away reject you. They don't want to know anything about Krishna consciousness. They are completely against you. And some people, they don't mind you. And sometimes they'll talk to you one or two nice words. They won't take a book or anything, but they'll just say one or two nice words and they'll pass. Everybody is different, isn't it? And some other people are in such a state, they require the mercy, kindness. You have to deal with them in a kind way. Because premam, kripa, that's their nature. They're kind to everybody. Some people are very kind to everyone. And there are some others who are very against you. Or in other words, they don't want to know anything from you. Whatever you tell them, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, nothing, they have no interest. And they just think you are just a botheration for them. So accordingly, this person in that state will create the relationship also. So those who love Krishna, to them premam, love for them. Love for Krishna and to his devotees who have that similar love for Krishna. Maitri towards friendship towards those who are friendly to you, who have no inimical feeling towards you. Towards them, you develop a friendship. Those who are ignorant, and who are due to unfortunate circumstances, unable to develop Krishna consciousness, but at the same time they are not inimical. To such people, kripa. Towards them, kripa. This is the nature of the Madhyama Adhikari, middle class devotee. In other words, middle order devotee. His nature is spoken in the Bhagavatam like this. Premam, towards those devotees who are developed love for Krishna. Maitri, towards those who are not inimical, nor they have developed a high level of attachment, but they are not inimical, but they are friendly to you. Maitri. Kripa to those who are in the unfortunate situation that they have not been able to understand Krishna consciousness or due to some various prarabdham that they are suffering in that situation. They are unable to, they want to come out, they have a desire, they are also know that, but they are so caught up in the karmam in this world, they are unable to come out of it. Towards them, Kripa. You can only show mercy to them. Not that to tell everyone you're all working like asses in this world and condemn them. That is, anybody can do that, isn't it? That is not spiritual life. We do that sometimes, isn't it? Criticize everyone in this world. People will be struggling hard in this world to live in this world. They also want to come out of it. Unfortunately, they can't, because the whole prarabdham around, centered around them, big family problems and illnesses and various issues in life. Everyone's prarabdham puts in different situations, isn't it? So when that happens, what should be there? Kripa should be there. Mercy we have to show to them. Kripa. And those who are completely against, dead against spiritual life and Krishna consciousness or anything related to the soul, totally absorbed in the body, such people, upeksha, completely indifferent to them. This is the position of a madhyamadhikari, a middle level devotee. Ishware tad adineshu balisheshu dushalsucha. Prayamam, maitri, kripa, upeksha. Dushalsu means envious nature. To them, upeksha. Nothing to do with them. You have to leave them alone and go your own way. Dushalsuja. Prayamam, maitri, kripa, upeksha. Accordingly, the four relationships also. Ekaroti, samadhyama. Then the last one is the third class devotee. Archaya meva haraye. Only one thing he knows is temple and the deity there. Nothing else. 24 hours he'll be busy there with that. And then he doesn't care. Everyone else in this world is all useless as far as he is concerned. There is no understanding that Krishna is present in others' heart. So the same, just like Kapila Vasudeva spoke in the third canto, Hari Maharshi speaks to King Nimi. This classification of the devotees. So you can see there that the such a person who has come to this highest level, that means Bhagavata Uttama, Savai Bhagavata Uttama, where he has reached that stage, Krishna's presence is recognizing everyone, and that is first class devotee, or who has come to the Nirguna state, where he is free from any kind of modes of nature interfering with his spiritual life, such a person, Narada Maharshi says, can cross Maya. Only he has crossed Maya. That's why he says in the next verse, if you look, he says, Satarati, Satarati, Salogam Starayati. That's all he had to say. Satarati, Satarati, Salogam Starayati. He says that he will cross Maya, he has crossed Maya, and he can take others also beyond Maya. He can take others also beyond Maya. So the question Narada Maharshi raised, and the answer also Narada Maharshi has given. So here, what we have to understand, that the question he raised was, Kastaradi Kastaradi Mayam. He said, who can cross Maya? Who can cross Maya? How can you cross Maya? Who is capable of crossing Maya? Kastaradi Kastaradi Mayam. And after explaining all these things, says, Sataradi Sataradi Salogam Starayati. He crosses, and he takes others also across to the other side of the Maya. The interesting thing is, if you ask what is Maya, that's where all the problem is, isn't it? That's why it's good time we are discussing this, because this is exactly the topic we have to discuss in the Bhagavad Gita now. That this seventh chapter, Jnana Vijnana Yoga, what we are discussing is nothing about crossing over Maya. So the same thing Sri Narada Maharshi is discussing here also, how to cross the Maya. So sadhana, when what we can see here, sadhana was spoken in this chapter, title is sadhana. But in this sadhana, basically, he did not talk about any of the processes what we have seen in the sadhana bhakti in the Bhagavadam, like the nine processes, not spoken about it. He kept away from that. Rather, he spoke about in his under-realization what he sees as sadhana, what one should be performing. Because the process of sadhana bhakti spoken in the Bhagavadam, what is spoken in the Bhagavadam, is at the early stages. But that sadhana bhakti should eventually turn to this, what Siddhartha Maharshi is saying here, which means these three levels of devotees to come to the first class, first stage devotee, where realization of Krishna in other living entities is more important than anything else in this world. If once we recognize that, then you are crossing the Maya. Otherwise it cannot happen. Otherwise we may keep thinking that I am executing sadhana, but the necessary change is not happening inside. And that is why he mentions like that. So he spoke a few things here that in order to cross over Maya, what one should do. He mentioned a karmabalam tejadi karmani sanyasyadi tado nirdvando bhavati. He mentioned that. And he said, yo vedanabhi sanyasyadi kevalam avichinna aniragam labhade. In other words, Narada Maharshi linked karmam with spiritual realization. In other words, if karmam is not sorted, it's not going to happen. This is the first thing. Simply making a lot of noise in this world is not bhakti. We have to get that understanding. Bhakti is not that we make a lot of noise, a lot of programs, a lot of rathyatras, a lot of so many things we do in this world, in spiritual life, thinking that this is all spiritual life. But you can see the science is talking a little different way. Science is saying to us that if your karmam is sorted out first, it is possible to get this realization inside that the crossover Maya. Kastarado bhavati, kastarado tarati, he says, isn't it? So on a very subtle level, that how to deal with karmam, that is what Narada Maharshi is talking to us in the frame of sadhana. Not the other shravanam, kirtanam, vishasmaranam, vadasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, that is not Narada Maharshi's focus, bhakti sadhana. Narada Maharshi's bhakti sadhana, and he is saying to us that sort that karmam out first. If karmam is purified, it will happen. It will happen. You will cross Maya. Karmam purification means same thing what Upanishads have spoken. What Ishopanishad said, isn't it? Ishavasam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunjira magrada kasya siddhanam. That give up to Krishna, give everything to Krishna from whom it all belongs to. Recognizing that and serving Krishna in that concept, that means handing over everything to Krishna and be always surrendered to Krishna. With full understanding that Krishna is maintaining, Krishna is protecting that state. So that is what it was spoken here. That in other words, so Prabuddha also said this in the Bhagavatam, if you look, Prabuddha, when he spoke, Kavi Hari Andarisha Prabuddha. Prabuddha said, isn't it, how to cross over Maya? That question came up. And King Nami asked the question, how to cross over Maya? And Prabuddha answered, Idi Bhagavadan Dharman Shikshan Bhaktya Taduthaya Narayana Paro Maya Anjastaradi Dustaram. He says, Narayana Para, one has to become Narayana Para. What is Narayana Para means? Narayana Para means only one thing, you have to surrender to Krishna. That is Narayana Para. Narayana Para means one who is fully surrendered to Krishna. That the other dharmam, for example, the nine processes, is not rejected. That is the beginning of the thing, of sadhana bhakti. Beginning of the sadhana bhakti is like that. So that sadhana bhakti, what one has practiced through shravana, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, that nine processes, eventually must bring to surrender. If surrender has not happened, then what Narada Maharshi says here is all very difficult to follow. So, Narayana Paro Maya Anjastaradi Dustaram. Krishna also says in the Bhagavatam, Madbhakti Yukto Bhuvanam Punadi. Krishna says that, Madbhakti Yukto Bhuvanam Punadi. One who is my devotee, he purifies the world. That is what he says, isn't it? When Uddhava went to Vrindavanam and saw the gopis, he says, Vande Nandavrajastrinam Padarenum abhishnasha yasam harigadod gidam punadi bhuvanatrayam. He says, Nandavrajastrinam padarenum abhishnasham. That the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis, Uddhava says, I put it on my head. Why? Nandavrajastrinam abhishnasha. Why? Yasam harigadod gidam. Because they are only speaking about Krishna, nothing else. And their presence, Punadibhuvanatrayam. They purify all the three worlds, it says. Just like Prabuddha said this here, that Anjastarati Dustaram, that they purify the whole creation. Narayana Paravamaya Anjastarati Dustaram. Those such surrendered devotees, they purify the whole world. They purify the whole world. This is the... In the Bhagavatam, you will notice this. In many instances, Vidura went on his pilgrimage. You remember? When Mahabharata war started, Vidura put the weapons there and went away. He wandered around 36 years, all through the country, walking from one place to another. 36 years. Vidura had no problem at home. He had a very devoted wife. He had all facilities. He was a minister. Everything was provided for Vidura. Only thing is, he could not agree with Duryodhana's policy. So what did he do? When he realized that he couldn't do anything, he walked out from there. He didn't want to stay. He left. So when he left, he wandered 36 years. He was wandering around till he came back to Vrindavanam and met Uddhava. How do you know it was 36 years? Because when Mahabharata war declared, Uddhava left. And then Krishna was leaving the planet when Vidura met Uddhava. So practically that time difference is about 36 years. So these 36 years, Vidura was wandering around all over the country, going from one holy place to another holy place to another holy place, one tirtham, one holy river to another holy river, trying to associate him with one devotee or another and looking for some peace inside. Vidura was so disturbed over the situation. Because Vidura says there in the Bhagavatam that when he left Hastinapur, that he had enough by then. He says, these Kshatriyas, he's talking about Kshatriyas at that time, that these Kshatriyas, they had everything. They had everything, what one could think about in this world. All the wealth, all the sense enjoyment, everything what can imagine, they had everything. But in spite of all that, Vidura says that there was no peace inside. They were ready to put the knife each other all the time. This was the state of affairs. And he tried very hard to bring some sense to them, but they won't agree. They won't agree. They're ready to fight. So when that stage came, Vidura thought that's better to leave. And he left. And he had to pay a very heavy price for that, because he felt later, 36 years he stayed away from Krishna, which was a big thing for a devotee, isn't it? When he had such a glorious opportunity to be with Krishna, Sahasra Charanobhadhanam, Bhagavatam says about him. That means often Vidura used to come to Dwaraka from Hastinapur. When Vidura came to Dwaraka, Krishna used to put his feet in Vidura's lap and rest. And therefore, everybody used to call Vidura as the pillow for Krishna's lotus feet. Pillow for Krishna. Sahasra Charanobhidhanam. In the Bhagavatam, it addressed Vidura like that. Vidura used to sit there. Krishna used to put his feet in Vidura's lap and rest. And Vidura used to enjoy listening to Krishna. And Vidura was also given a special service to wash Krishna's shoes, which is made of silver shoes. Vidura used to wash them wherever he had an opportunity, and that was the service he performed very happily for. So that was the close relationship Vidura had with Krishna. And if you remember in Mahabharatam, when the war was imminent, when Krishna went to negotiate with Duryodhana, Krishna did not stay with Duryodhana, although Duryodhana invited Krishna, rather he went and stayed with Vidura. That is well known thing in the Mahabharatam. So in spite of all that, this 36 years gap, when Vidura travelled around, he was looking for association. And that time, he understood that in holy places, holy rivers, why do we go and bathe there? Because in these holy rivers, great devotees come and bathe. Due to their bathe in those rivers, they become purified. So that is why it is mentioned like that the purification or with the association of the holy places, holy rivers. And only thing what happens there is that the great devotees will come. And similarly, great sinners also will come. Mother Ganga did not want to come to this world. She refused to come. Bhagiratha went to invite Ganga to come here, but Ganga Devi refused to come. Then Bhagiratha said to Ganga Devi that if you come, there is an opportunity to have some purification here. Ganga Devi said, all the sinners will come and bathe in me. And they will make my life hard. Ganga Devi says like that. So at that time, Bhagiratha said to them, she was in the heavenly planets. And what is in the heavenly planet, what you don't have, you will find in the earthly planet. What is that? Great, great devotees also will come and bathe in the river. And that will purify you. And that is how Ganga Devi agreed to come to this world. That is in the Bhagavatam, you will see that. So, Bhakti Sadhanani, Sadhana Bhakti, when Narada Maharshi talks about, he speaks in this way here. And then in the next chapter, there is two more chapters in the Narada Bhakti Sutram. In the next chapter, Sri Narada Maharshi is going to talk about the symptoms of bhakti. How to understand whether one has bhakti or not. That it is not for experimenting with others, whether to test it on everybody else, but to test on ourselves, whether we have bhakti or not. So because it says in the Bhagavatam that whenever these things are happening, our immediate tendency is that, let us find out whether somebody else has got bhakti. What kind of devotee is? First class, second class, third class. We start doing this. That is not allowed in the bhakti process. We are not allowed to do that. Because that is not what the purpose of telling us the symptoms of bhakti. So the first one, he says, bhakti lakshanam. Bhakti lakshanam, he says, anirvachaniyam prema swarupam. That is the first, that's all he has to say about bhakti. Anirvachaniyam prema swarupam. Siddhartha Maharshi says that anirvachaniyam means that you cannot define it. Undefinable. That's the way it is. Because it is related to love. A loving relationship between Krishna and the devotee, it cannot be defined in a particular way. Because you can see, when you look at the devotees, all of them have very strange relationship with Krishna. Isn't it? Very different relationship with Krishna. Like, although you can categorize in the, depending on the rasas, Shanta Dasya Sakhyam Vatsalya Madhuryam. Gopis had one kind of relationship with Krishna. Prahlada had another type of relationship with Krishna. And Kunti Devi had a different type of relationship with Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj had one kind of relationship with Krishna. Arjuna had another kind of relationship with Krishna. Lakshmi Devi had a different kind of relationship. Akrura had another type. So where can you put the columns and say that this is bhakti? That is difficult to say. That is why he's saying like that. Anirvachaniyam. It cannot be defined, that relationship with Krishna. It cannot be defined. That bhakti cannot be defined. Prema Swarupam. It is just love inside, flowing freely from the devotee's heart towards Krishna. So, because another problem here is, it cannot be explained because it is anubhuti. Anubhuti means it is an experience within. How a devotee feels, it is impossible to explain that. Because every devotee's experience is different with Krishna. Experience is different with Krishna. And because it is anubhuti, it is not subject to description. It cannot be described properly to anyone. Because what he is, one who is experiencing bhakti, based on his experience, he can describe what he is experiencing with somebody, Krishna, that relationship. But for another person who hasn't got that experience, he cannot understand that, isn't it? He won't understand that. When Prahlada spoke so many things in the Bhagavatam about his relationship with Narasimhamurti, Hiranyakashipu could not understand anything. Prahlada was only talking as a devotee, isn't it? He was saying so many things he spoke to Hiranyakashipu and so many others who were present there. All the other children, his classmates, and also the Shanda Amarka and so many other demons. They were all just wondering, what's he talking about? They were thinking like that. Why is it like that? Because it is Prahlada's realization it is. Others don't have it, so what to do? It cannot be explained to them that this is what it is, because they are not experiencing it. If you say something, say for example, normal things in life, say I like something, say for example, sweet rice, for just to give an example, I enjoyed sweet rice, I can explain to you about sweet rice, how tasty it is. And if you are not still understood, I can give you some sweet rice and tell you to taste it, and you can experience it. But this bhakti is not like that. That is the problem. Bhakti, devotee is experiencing, but he can't hand it over to someone till he experiences the bhakti, what he has to experience in his own way. That is why that problem, because it is anubhuti. It is anubhuti. Anubhuti means it's his own experience. So, sometimes some people can explain things, but they don't have the experience of it. Some people have the experience, but they can't explain it. Either way, it can happen. So, one who has this anubhuti or realization, that he may not be interested also in explaining to others. Sometimes devotees are like that. Many of those you can see, Jadabharata was like that. He was in his own world experiencing Krishna consciousness. Dattatreya Maharshi was like that. Sukadeva Goswami is like that. If they wish or if they feel like, they'll come and talk to you about Krishna. Otherwise, they go in their own world, they live. They live in their own world. And they know that they cannot teach us about bhakti because we won't understand. Whatever he has told, we still have not understood what Sukadeva Goswami has told us, isn't it? So they think they better not to waste time with this lot. Then they live in their own world. They live in their own world. But as and when they speak sometimes, whatever that Mahatamandar Mukhambu Jachido Vithalsa Karnaida Meshamevara, Prithumaraj says, if ever they speak something, when it drops from their lips, that Mahatamandar, that anubhuti, that realization when it comes out, if I can get that is what he asked Krishna. When Krishna appeared in front of Prithu Maharaj, Krishna asked him, what do you want? Prithu Maharaj says, I want millions of years, 10,000 years, he says, to hear about you. But it's not just hearing what he wanted. What he wanted was, when these great souls, when they speak about, they don't speak normally always, but if they speak or when they speak, when their words come out from their lips, through that realization also flows. And let my ears be powerful enough to capture that realization so that I can experience that. If you look at the words in the Bhagavatam, you will see this. We think that, oh, it's just I have to hear with 10,000 years. I got two now. So if I get another 9,998, the problem is sorted out. That's the gross thinking, isn't it? But the Bhagavatam language is like that. It is called Samadhi Bhasha. It is spoken in Samadhi, isn't it? So it says here, Mahatamandar Mukhambujachido Vithalswa Karnaida Meshamevara, he says, that whenever it comes out from their mouth, when they speak their realization, like Sudev Goswami, like the Kumaras and all, let me be tuned in all the time, that straight away I can receive that flow of that anubhuti or realization which comes through their words. Let my ear be powerful enough to absorb that. This hearing is a very, very sophisticated thing. Out of all the five senses, ears are the most sophisticated one. You know why? Because ears are the subtle form of the sky, sound, isn't it? Just like nose is connected with the earth, the most gross one, the nose, connected with the earth. And sparsham, touch, is connected with the air, isn't it? And form is connected with the fire. And rasam is taste is connected with the water. So these four are the grosser things compared to ear. If you look into the creation, you will see from the sky comes sound, then the sky. And sky's subtle aspect is the ear. Similarly, it keeps grosser and grosser, and finally it comes to earth when it becomes the nose, is the gandham, and is the subtle element of the earth. So in creation process, the most subtle one is the ear. That is why ear is given so much importance. And because it is the most subtle, it is the most difficult one also. Most difficult one also. So if you allow this subtle one to hear all the rubbish and garbage in this world, what will happen? It will have much more effect than any other senses on us. It will have a much more effect on any other senses than us. Here we have to know this, because sages talk to us from a very subtle level. We pick up everything from the most gross level. That is where this problem is coming. Just like we say, there is the fact and there is the truth. There's a fact and the truth. Sages gives importance to truth, not to the fact. You know, sages give importance to the truth, not to the fact. For example, you read the newspaper. So many things are spoken in the newspaper, and is reported in the newspaper. That's all fact. But it's not truth. Why is it not truth? We have to understand what sages are telling us. It's a very important point. We misunderstand it all the time. Sages' opinion is this, that everything that has happened in this world is false. Is false. Why? Whatever happens, what effect it has got on you, that is more important. You see? That's more important. And that is truth. In the Bhagavad, this is very, very important about Bhagavadam. I'll tell you why. When Bhagavadam was spoken, when Brahma spoke to Narada Maharshi, Srimad Bhagavadam in 3 chapters in the 2nd canto, he says to Narada Maharshi, whatever I have spoken to you now, Bhagavadam, take this, yatha harer bhagavati nranam bhaktir bhavishyadi sarvaatman akhiladharam idi sangalpavarnaya. There's a verse in the Bhagavadam in the second canto. He says, whatever I have spoken to you, you expand that, he says to Narada Maharshi. How do you expand? When you expand it, the expansion will be in such a way, it should create bhakti in the person. So, bhakti is the truth. Not what is spoken is a fact. What is spoken is a fact. If you hear something, and if it creates bhakti, renunciation, detachment, knowledge, and truthfulness, all the peacefulness, everything in you, that is the truth. If it creates you hate, envy, all the bad things, if it has created in you, that is useless. So the truth is, what is the impact of anything that is spoken, what is its impact on you, that is more important. For example, in the world, modern world, we give importance to history, isn't it? History we give importance. Sages outrightly reject, put it in the bin, they say, this history. Why? It is, if you think about it, makes sense also. When you can see this, we study history. Very seriously we study history. Hitler came, Mussolini came, Napoleon came, so many came and gone. Now, they came and they did a lot of things. And we get reports from that, we study them in the books about them. And then we say, history will repeat. And all kinds of our explanation to the history. Sages are telling, they are all nonsense. Don't waste your time studying this history. This is outright condemnation of the history. As far as they are concerned, that is in the Maya's world, and you will never get a precise information about anything in this world. In fact, there will be always distortions and interpretations of everything in this world. Whatever so-called history we are studying, we think it's pure information we have, isn't it? It's never pure. It's always the person who has reported to us will have his vasana will be mixed with that information what he's providing us. But what is important, according to the sages, Upanishads are very firm on this. Whatever you have heard in this world, the impact what it has created in you is more important. If it is creating bhakti, if it is creating knowledge, renunciation, truthfulness, everything, that is satyam. That is, because that is the truth at this moment for you. That is effect on you at this point in time. Isn't it? which is the reason. That's why Bhagavatam is continuously happening. Bhagavatam is not history. We should not misunderstand. It's not history. It is his story. Krishna's story it is. Because by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, even today at this moment, if it is creating in you some feeling of devotion, bhakti, renunciation, knowledge, all these things, that means it is the truth right now. It is the truth. Ya shrutya talparyo bhavet. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see a statement there. Anugrahaya bhudanam anushim tanima shridam. Ya shrutya talparyo bhavet. Krida. Krishna performed, Sukadeva Goswami is saying there, Krishna performed all these pastimes only with one goal, that when one hears that, it should change his heart. Ya shrutya talparyo bhavet. That means, Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read Bhagavatam, we are thinking this has happened 5,000 years ago in Vrindavanam or Mathura or Dwaraka, somewhere. No, it is happening now. Why? It is having its impact on you at this point in time. Newspaper and history book, we'll read it, we'll put it there straight away after that. Oh, it happened 100 years ago, 50 years ago. That's history. Bhagavatam is not that category. Bhagavatam is anugrahaya bhudanam manushim devam ashridaha. Krishna has taken, came down to this world, performed these pastimes, by hearing which ya shrutya talparyo bhavet, that he will develop attachment bhakti inside the heart. That was the intention behind it. So, we are discussing about this, that it is difficult to transmit that realization of a devotee to another person. Realization devotee to another person. And therefore it is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult to explain what is bhakti. And that is why he says here, anirvachaniyam prema-swarupam. Anirvachaniyam prema-swarupam. It is not possible to define what it is. According to the devotee, his relationship will change with Krishna. Prema-swarupam. There is love. Gopis had one kind of relationship with Krishna. Uddhava went and saw that. Uddhava comes back and makes a report about that. What does he say? Because prior Uddhava went to Vrindavanam, Krishna said to Uddhava, you are going to see a group of devotees which are not normal. They are a little different category, he says. Because Uddhava had his own understanding about bhakti. So Krishna warned Uddhava prior to going there that you will see a group of devotees now whom you may not have seen anywhere else. They are a very special class, he says to him. So Uddhava goes there and he realized that what Krishna has spoken was correct. That's why when he came back, he says, evam bhaktya sakala bhuvane nekshida nashrudavam kim shastrauge kimihatavasa gobigabhyo namostu. This bhakti, what I have seen in Vrindavanam, with evam bhaktya, I have not seen sakala bhuvane in any other place in this world. Nekshida nashrudavam. I never heard about a bhakti like this, nor I have seen one like this. Kim shastra ughe? Why to study shastram? Kimiha tapasa? Why perform penances? Gobi gabhyo namostu. All I can do is to pay my obeisances to the gopis. How gopis reached their state, Uddhava could not understand. That such an intense feeling for Krishna, that without studying any shastram, without performing any penances, without serving any mahalma, how did they reach this state? This was Uddhava's question. So, Uddhava saw that devotion in gopis like that. Prahlada's bhakti. You see in the Bhagavatam, what was that Prahlada's bhakti? Which attracted many people like Yudhishthira Maharaj and many others also. There, he relationship with Narasimha Murthy. What he discusses there in the Bhagavatam, famous Prahlada Stuti. If you see there, you will see what Prahlada says, his relationship with bhakti. You are always the master, I am always the servant. That is. And he says to Narasimha Murthy at that time, if ever you want to give me a boon, give me such a boon that I never get a desire to ask anything from you. That kind of surrender to Narasimha Murthy. So devotees' realizations are different and they will always remain different. Every devotee will be different from one to another. You can never say two devotees are similar, always. They all have their own relationship with Krishna in their own level. And that is why I said anirvachaneeyam premaswarupam. It's only love that is binding between the devotee and Krishna, and it cannot be defined how that happens. So when Dhruva went to see Krishna in the forest, and Krishna appeared, and in the Bhagavadam, if you look at the verses, Dhruva's state of mind at that time, tad-darshanena agada sadhva-sakshidaha avandatangam vinimaya dandavan drukbhyam prapashyan pravivannivarbhaga shumbannivasena bujairivashleshan satam vivachandam adadvidam harir nyatvasya sarvasya jahradhyavastidaha kridanjalim brahmamayena kambula pasparashabalam kribaya kapolem. Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna. When he saw Krishna, Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old. Somehow or the other, Narada Maharshi gave this Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, told him, go to Madhuvanam, chant the holy name and perform penances there. And he was very determined, Kshatriya boy, wasn't he? Full of determination. So he had this 6 months of intense austerities and penances in Madhuvanam. And for weeks together, he was only eating the dry leaves, and then sometime later on switch on to air and no water. Then eventually he started holding on his breath even. Such a way it became more and more intense. So at that time, when Krishna appeared at the end, Dhruva didn't know what to say. What will a 5-year-old boy say to Krishna when he sees him? So he got confused, and he started looking at the beauty, Krishna's beauty, and started drinking Krishna through his eyes, ears, everything. The beauty of Krishna. And felt like embracing Krishna, seeing that beautiful form. Wanted to say something, but couldn't say anything. Didn't know what to say at that time. He says here, Satvam satam vivachandam adadvidam harir nyatvasya sarvasya jahridyavasthidaha. That sarvasya jahridyavasthidaha, everything inside the heart, but cannot express himself, what he wants to do. Krutvanjalim brahmamayena kambulam pasparashabalam kribaya kapole. Krishna understood the problem, that he could not express himself. He could not express himself. So glorifying Krishna is not an easy thing, isn't it? So unless Krishna's mercy is there, you can't talk about Krishna also. So what did Krishna do? Krishna took his conch shell and touched his kapolam on the side of his on the cheeks. He touched it with this kapolam. So the vaigari inside woke up properly and started expressing what is known in the Bhagavadam famous as Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's glorification of Krishna. So at that time, only when Krishna gives you can express your feelings towards Krishna. When Krishna allows you can express your feelings towards Krishna. In other words, the soul inside, who is the source of everything, it is from there our capacity to express love, feelings, everything comes. But when it comes to the most complex situation of glorifying Krishna, if the soul does not allow you, if it doesn't come from the soul, it cannot happen. It cannot be done from mind and intelligence. This is the point. This is the point. Mind and intelligence cannot penetrate into that sphere of love. It is not in the mind. Mind and intelligence is on a different plane altogether. This is coming from the heart, very heart, from the soul, and it has to come from there. Only then you can express your feelings for Krishna. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. That is why it says you can experience it, but it's difficult to, in order to express that Krishna's mercy is required. Many, many devotees you know in the history throughout, you will see Vilumangalam, Suridas, they were all like that. Suridas was blind and he used to sit and sing, and Krishna used to sit right in front of him, listen to the songs when he sung, the famous Suridas bhajans. And Suridas was singing, he did not knowing that Krishna was sitting right in front listening to him, because he was blind, totally blind. And Suridas sings, but inside he is experiencing a great bliss from that glorification of Krishna from inside. So Krishna has allowed that, and that love is expressed out inside, and Krishna was experiencing that from outside. That's why Suridas bhajans have become famous, because of that. Same thing with Vilimangalam also, when he was glorifying Krishna. Vilimangalam's experiences in the Karnamrutam, you will see there how he talks about Krishna, Vilimangal Thakur. So similarly, many, many great person, great devotees, they completely forget. Why? Because of this. Bhakti's difficulty to say what they are experiencing. All that they are experiencing, they will either form, sing in the form of songs like Maharashtrian saints. You can see all of them. Tukaram, Jnaneshwar, Namadev, Ekanath, all the great saints. All these great, great devotees, they are all like that. They will, at some point in time, they will express themselves, their feelings. And that's all you can say about bhakti. But you can't put any category among them and say that this is the bhakti's nature. Bhakti cannot be defined in that way. Anirvachaniyam Premaswarupam. It is undefinable and it is full of love. Saying that, in order to get us closer to this the best example, Sri Narada Maharshi thought about it and he gave one word to tell us how it is. And it's the next sutram called Mukha Aswadhanavad, he says. That's all he had to say. Mukham Aswadhanavad. Mukha Aswadhanavad means, suppose you have arranged a nice feast and a man came, but he was dumb. He couldn't speak. He had the feast. He couldn't tell you how he enjoyed the feast. Imagine that situation. Imagine that situation. He came, he enjoyed your feast very well, but he couldn't tell you how good the feast was. About different preparations, how each one of them, he enjoyed them. He wanted to express that. But he couldn't do it. So, Narada Maharshi is saying, bhakti is like that. Mukha Aswadhanavad. You will experience it, but you won't know how to say this to somebody else. What you are experiencing, that bhakti. How you experience that bhakti? It cannot be explained in words to somebody else. So therefore he says, Mukha Aswadhanavad. Mukham. Mukha means one who is dumb. But he has enjoyed it as much as any one of us have enjoyed the feast. He has also enjoyed it, but he can't say anything about it. And devotee state is also like that. When he is experiencing bhakti, he doesn't know what to say about that. That is the relationship. So, evam, in the fourth canto you will see that when Sri Narada Maharshi initiated Dhruva to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and go to the forest, he says to Dhruva, evam bhagavado rupam subhadram dhyayedo mana nirvrutya paraya turnam sambannam nanivartate. He says to Dhruva these instructions to him that when you are meditating, because when Narada Maharshi gave this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, to Dhruva, he told him how to sit, he told him where to go, he told him what form to meditate upon. All these instructions was given along with the mantra, isn't it? What mantra, what form to meditate upon, how to sit, and where to perform the austerity. All this Madhuvanam you should go to, and all these things are specifically told. So Dhruva goes there and he performs this, and at that time he told him that after you chant this for a certain period of time, you will become blissful inside. Ananda Swarupam, he says to Dhruva. You will become, realize the truth and you will become blissful. So so he says here, Nirvurtaya Parayam Parayaturnam Sambannam Nanivartade. And that blissful state, you will not be able to come out of it easily. You will not be able to come out of it easily. And this is the situation what Dhruva has got into. And unless Krishna stops that, it won't stop. It will continue. So in Dhruva's case, what happened? Krishna comes. And when he saw Krishna's, initially, Dhruva was meditating on that form. With closed eyes, the form appeared inside. Suddenly the form disappeared from inside, it manifested in the front. And that is when Krishna appeared in the front and touched him, and then he started famous what is known as Dhruvastuti. Dhruva's glorification of Krishna in the Bhagavatam happened at that time. So then Krishna had to stop it, otherwise the glorification would have continued. He couldn't stop it. So Krishna had to put a stop, and Krishna says to Dhruva, what shall I give it to you? What boon do you want? That's when the stop came. And then Dhruva asked for, did not know what to say. And then Krishna told him that 36,000 years you should stay as a king and rule the planet, which later Dhruva regretted for accepting that, because I got an opportunity to go, whereas we would have accepted even 1 year. By 36,000 years, he says, if this is the difference. Dhruva was offered 36,000 years, it says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? As the emperor of the world, and later after that to the Dhruva planet also. But Dhruva's demands were very high. But Krishna has offered all this to him. But we will say to Krishna, I'm not looking for all that. Very little is our requirement. If I can just can pay my mortgage and have enough money to have gone a few holidays this life. I'm not looking for anything more than that. This is what we will ask Krishna. But that is where the difference is. Krishna knows our needs, our demands very well. So anyway, Dhruva mentioned this there. And he says also there that Sambhanam Kojitvadatyanchuda Chindaya Kojilha Sandinandandi Vadandalogigaha Nrityandi Gayandi Anishilayandyajam Bhavandi Tushnim Parametyanurvradaham. That a devotee who has reached that state, what will happen to him? Kojil Rudandyant Achyuda Chindaya Kojil. Sometimes he will cry. Sometimes he will cry thinking about Krishna. And sometimes they will laugh thinking about Krishna. Sometimes they will, in such a blissful state, they will sing, dance. And also they will not only dance, they will also imitate the different pastimes of Krishna, like the gopis did. And sometimes they will reach that high state of realization, and they will sit there and think in that blissful state for a long period of time. Kojil rudachant achyuda chindaya kojil hasandi nandandi vadandi alaugigaha nrityandi gayandi anishilayandi ajam bhavandi tushnim parametya nirvradaha. So it is impossible to explain or to express their experiences or realizations at that stage. Very difficult to, unlike in Jnanamargam, Karmamargam, Yogamargam, where you can define clearly how the realizations are progressing in a person. Particularly in Jnanamargam, it is much more well definable states what he is going through. But in a devotee's case, it is very, very difficult how he is realizing bhakti is developing inside. Because the very nature of bhakti is that you can experience it, but you cannot express it to somebody else. So, after saying that, he says here, prakashyade kvapi patre, in the next verse, that he says, that prakashyade kvapi patre. In other words, if a person has realized the truth, what will happen is that is patram. Patram means the pot. In a person, when bhakti has developed in a person and matured, properly developed inside, it will automatically manifest externally. It will come out externally in some form. That's what he's saying here. Prakashyade kvapi patre. That what is fallen into that patram, from that pot, it will manifest, it will come out from that pot. Prakashyade, in the form of bhakti. His realizations will come out in some form from that person. This is the rule of bhakti. That is why you see in bhakti, the all devotees, if you look at in this world, who have come before us, who have as devotees lived in this world, everybody is different. You can never say two devotees were same. They were all different. Whereas in Jnanamargam, it's not like that. All the Jnanis have similar realizations, and although they may be different in which level they are, right? Eventually when they realized it, they will all tell you the same one thing. They will never say, due to my sadhana I have realized the truth. Not one person so far has spoken in this world, I got self-realization by my sadhana. At that point, they realize that their sadhana is all has its own limited capacity. Then they'll say, it was Krishna's mercy that I have realized the truth. At that point, they can openly acknowledge because they've experienced it that way. So, Jnani's case, it's a lot different. But Jnani also, at that point in time, they also come to the state of bhakti. When they come to understand that this bhakti was the key in getting that, opening that process of realization. But in various states in the Jnanam process, you can see there that they are crossing over different states. That is possible to explain in the Jnanamargam. But bhakti process, it is difficult. Although some acharyas, like Rupa Goswami and all, they have given certain hints about it in different ways, like they talk about it, isn't it? That in the Haribhakti Vilas and also in the Nectar Devotion talks about that. They are all just general indications to us. It can't rigidly follow that. Because when one thing is happening, another thing is happening simultaneously in a person. Just like if you look into the verses related to bhakti, what says in the Haribhakti Vilasam, in the Nectar Devotion also, you will see that the different stages are spoken, isn't it? Radhi, Bhavam, Premam, all different stages are spoken. It's not necessary that all these things happen one after the other. When one is happening, another thing can happen also simultaneously inside. So bhakti's situation is like that. That is something very difficult to explain. That is why in Bhakti Sutram, when he is discussing about bhakti's nature, Siddhartha Maharshi simply said, Mukha Aswadhanavad. Just like a dumb person, how he is experiencing his happiness, he does not know how to explain that. Because bhakti is coming from the heart. It is from the heart. It's not from the intelligence or the mind. So it cannot be explained. And that is between the devotee and Krishna. Krishna knows what is in the devotee's heart, in other words. Isn't it? So we'll wait for 10 minutes. Then we'll start with Bhagavad Gita, to the 7th chapter. We'll go back.